Saparshita Bhagavad Viraha Janita Vilapa by Narottam Das Thakur, the lamentation due to separation from the Lord and his associates. Jaya Nilo Prema Dana Karuna Prachu.
Shane Kuti
Goranga Gunerani Kota Gela Pabo Goranga Gunerani Goranga Gunerani Kota Gela Pabo Sava Sangi Rasange Jai Kailo Vilas Rasange Jai Kailo Vilas Sava Sangi Rasange Jai Kailo Sangana Baya Gande Naro Tamadas Sangana Baya Gande Krishna
Prabhupada Jaya, 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 Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada
So today, being the disappearance day of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and of Gadadhara Pandit, I'm going to read a little about their pastimes from the Samadhi's book by Mahanidhi Goswami, Mahanidhi Swami Maharaj. First of Gadadhara Pandit. This is the Gadadhara Pandit little biography. Sri Gaurahari had so much affection for Sri Gadadhara Pandit that he couldn't be without him for a moment. He appeared a year after Lord Chaitanya. Gadai and Nimai were inseparable and childhood playmates. Peaceful, renounced, serious, self-composed, fond of solitude, Gadadhara proved quite a contrast to his bosom friend Gaurahari, who was fickle, unsteady, and whimsical. In Gangadas Pandit's Tol school, Nimai Pandit regularly teased Gadadhar by challenging him with illogical questions. Sri Kavi Karnapur states that in Brajlila, Gadadhar Pandit is the daughter of King Vrishabhana Srimati Radharani. Gadadhar Pandit served as Lord Gaura's chief assistant during his Navadvip Lila. Sri Sri Radha Krishna and Vrindavan appear as Gaura Gadadhar to perform in Navadvip in the forest, to perform pastimes in Navadvip in the forest groves beside the Ganges. No one can describe the characteristics and ecstatic love of Gadadhara Pandit. Therefore, another name for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Gadadhara Pranana, the life and soul of Gadadhara Pandit, from Chaitanya Chaitamrita. One day, while wandering along the bank of the Ganga, Gaurasundara entered a forest grove and sat in a meditative mood. Soon he became enraptured, remembering his Vrindavan pastimes. To enhance the Lord's mood, Mukundadat began singing sweet songs in Purva Rag. Sri Gadadhar made a garland of fragrant forest flowers and lovingly placed it around the Lord's beautiful neck. As Sri Radha used to dress Damodar in Vrindavan, smilingly, Gadadhar would adorn the radiant form of Lord Gauranga. He would also decorate Lord Chaitanya's bed and bedroom with sweet-smelling flowers. Every day, he would make sandalwood paste to rub on Sri Chaitanya's transcendental body. Gaur Gadadhar sat on the root of a tree, serving as a raised dais. Sri Nityananda Prabhu sat on Lord Chaitanya's right. Sri Vaspanda decorated them with flowers. Sri Advaita offered arati. Narahari waved a chamara. Suklambara offered chandan. And Murari Gupta sang the Lord's glories. Vijay, Mukunda, Purushottam, Madhava, and Vasudev Ghosh sang a variety of songs in different ragas. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his Nadya Lila. You know what that Purva Raga is, Gopal? Purva Raga. Gadadhara Pandit also took the renounced order of life and went to Jagannath Puri to be with Lord Chaitanya. Accepting Kshetra Sannyas, a renunciate who never leaves the Dham, he served the deity of Toda Gopinath with full love and devotion. Regularly, Sri Krishna Chaitanya came to relish Sri Gadadhara's Rashika reading of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya concluded his manifest pastimes by entering the deity of Toda Gopinath. Although Gadadhara Pandit was barely 48 when the Lord departed, he quickly became old because of the intense anguish he felt in separation from his beloved Gaurasundara. He couldn't stretch his arms to offer a garland to his deity. Understanding his servant's difficulty, the Toda Gopinath sat down to facilitate Gadadhara's loving service. To this day, Sri Toda Gopinath is the only sitting deity of Krishna. According to some authorities, a short time after Lord Chaitanya's disappearance, Sri Gadadhara Pandit joined his eternal pastimes by entering the deity of Todagopinath. His danta, tooth samadhi, stands near the Vamsa Gopal temple in Vrindavan. There's also a pastime of Gadadhara Pandit with Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Let's see if we can read that. Shukala, what time should we finish today? There being no breakfast. Till 9, okay. This will be our prasada. Actually, I read one pastime. This is a diversion, but I want to say it while I remember it. Mahakirtu assembled some pastimes of Jayananda Prabhu for their Rath Yatra in London. He's in London. And this is one I never heard before, but apparently while they were building the Rath Yatra cart, Jayananda was there. The devotees got a little bit tired because prasadam was late. And a few said that they weren't willing to carry on because they just were tired. They'd been up, some of them, all night, and they wanted to have prasadam. So it was 15 minutes, it was 20 minutes, it was a half hour, it was 45 minutes. Got to have prasadam. And it was an hour, and they still didn't have prasadam. So finally Jayananda got a little bit annoyed with this, and he rubbed his hand along the axle and filled it with grease and just went like this. This is Jagannath Prasadam, he said.
Mahaprasadam.
I heard Jagannath Prasadam.
And another voice says, you guys are crazy.
Can you imagine eating a big glob of grease and saying this is Jagannath Prasadam or Mahaprasadam? Anyway, that happened. Pundarik Vidyanidhi. A disciple of Sri Madhavendra Puri, Pundarik Vidyanidhi was Sri Gadadhara Pandit's guru and an intimate friend of Swarup Damodar. Once in Jagannath Puri, Pundarik Vidyanidhi met Swarup Damodar after a long separation. In a joyful mood of friendship, Pundarik and Swarupa wanted to take the dust from each other's feet. A scuffle began as they tried to simultaneously catch the feet of one another, but at the same time avoid having their own feet caught. Both being quite strong, neither won. But Sri Gauranga enjoyed their sporting play and everyone laughed. Pundarik Vidyanidhi had other names, Sri Vidyanidhi, Acharyanidhi, Bhatyanidhi, and Premanidhi, given by Lord Chaitanya. Simply by hearing the name, said Sri Gaura, the whole world becomes purified. Premanidhi's pure devotion caused Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to sometimes cry profusely and call out loudly, Bob, Father, Pundarika, Pundarika is my father, my dearmost friend. When shall I see him again? Pundarik Vidyanidhi is King Vrishabhanu, Sri Radha's father in Vrindavan Leela. When he first arrived in Navadvip, Pundarik Vidyanidhi disguised himself as a worldly sense enjoyer, because besides Mukunda, nobody knew that Pundarik Vidyanidhi was a pure Vaishnava. Today I will introduce you to a most exceptional Vaishnava, said Mukunda, as he took Gadadhara Pandit to meet Pundarik Vidyanidhi. They found Pundarik reclining in an opulent brass bed covered with red satin sheets, silk pillows, and topped with a three-tiered canopy. A gem-studded pan box. That's that powder they put in the beetle leaves, and yeah. That's the leaves, the pan. Right. See little globs of red spittle all over? That's from pan on the streets of India. A gem-studded pan box stuffed with fragrant spices and betel nuts waited within arm's reach. Two shiny brass platoons stood as silent sentries beside the bed. Seeing the mirror stained red from his chewing pan, Pundarik laughed heartily. Two servants cooled him with peacock bands. Was this a Vaishnava or a prince wallowing in luxury, wondered Gadadhara Pandit. Doubts arose in Gadadhara Pandit's mind about Pundarik's spiritual status. Reading his mind, Mukunda decided to reveal the highly exalted transcendental identity of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Mukunda recited Srimad Bhagavatam 10:6:35. Quote, always hankering to taste the blood of small children, Putana came to kill baby Krishna. However, because she offered her breast to the Supreme Lord, Putana attained the greatest blessing of being accepted as the mother of Krishna. Hearing this verse totally transformed Pundarik Vidyanidhi. A Ganges river of tears flooded his eyes.
Perspiration rained from his body. His hair stood erect. He ripped off his embroidered silk shirt and wildly thrashed his legs about. Rolling on the ground, he wailed, "The Lord is infinitely merciful, yet he deprives me of his mercy." His clothes, brass bed, fine bed sheets, mirrors, spittoons, all his opulent trappings were ripped to shreds, smashed to bits. 10 men tried, but couldn't restrain the force of Pundarik's ecstasy. The manifestations of Pundarik Vidyanidhi's pure love for Krishna competed with one another for some time. Finally, his spiritual emotions reached their peak, and he lost external unconsciousness. After witnessing this spectacular display of transcendental feelings, Gadadhara Pandit realized his offense in misjudging Pundarik Vidyanidhi to be a materialistic devotee. To rectify his mistake, he wanted to take initiation from Pundarik Vidyanidhi. 6 hours later, Pundarik returned to external consciousness. Now he seemed calm and composed. Happily, he initiated Gadadhara Pandit. Don't try it. Okay, Bhakti Vinod Thakur. This is for highly, highly advanced devotees. 65. Page is missing. Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Let's see. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, I'm sorry, 65, I'm missing some pages. It's very frustrating when you get a book and you find there's 10 pages that are missing from it. Okay, sorry about that. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Sri Satchidananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared in Bengal in 1838 in a wealthy family in the Nadia district, West Bengal. He revealed that he is the eternal associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by his extraordinary preaching activities and prolific writing. Living as a Mahabhagavat Vaishnava, he stayed in the Grihastha ashram until the last few years of his life. Then he renounced everything, accepted Babaji, and entered Samadhi, totally absorbed in the loving service of the Gorgadadhar and Radha Madhava. He had a responsible government position as a district magistrate, high court judge, maintained a Krishna conscious family, and wrote almost 100 books on Krishna consciousness. At that time, he served the Supreme Lord in so many ways. That is the beauty of his life. After a full day of government service, he would sleep 4 hours, get up at midnight, and write until morning. That was his daily program. That's a quote from Prabhupada. Thakur Bhakti Vinod took Vaishnava Diksha from Sri Vipina Bihari Goswami in the line of Sri Janava Mata. Afterwards, he received spiritual inspiration and direction from Srila Jagannath Das Babaji. Holding an exalted government post, vast erudition, and spiritual accomplishment never disturbed Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He remained prideless, always humble, friendly to all. Charity seekers at his home always left happy and satisfied. A well-wisher to everyone, he never kept grudges, even with opponents, to his preaching. In fact, he never spoke a word that would hurt another's feelings. The Thakur was always courageous and acted for everyone's welfare. Keeping personal needs to a minimum, he led the simplest of lives, said one pundit. In the following entry from Sharanagati, Srila Bhaktivinoda, who had all pure divine qualities, takes the role of a conditioned soul to teach us how to advance in Krishna consciousness. And this is the quote. You should always absorb your mind in attentively chanting Krishna's glories. By performing Krishna kirtan, you will gain mastery over your mind. Give up the false pride. Always think yourself to be worthless, destitute, lower and more humble than the straw in the street. Practice forgiveness like the tree. Giving up all violence toward other living beings, you should maintain that. Throughout your life, you should never give anxiety to others, but do good to them, make them happy, and forget about your own happiness. Thus, when you become a pious, good soul by possessing all good qualities, you should give up desires for fame and honor, and just make your heart humble. Knowing that Lord Sri Krishna lives within all living beings, you should respect and honor everyone at all times. You will attain virtue by being humble, merciful, respecting others, and renouncing desires for fame and honor. In such a state, you should sing the glories of the Supreme Lord. Weeping, Bhaktivinoda submits his prayer at the lotus feet of the Lord. O Lord, when will you give me such qualities as these? Always anxious to use every moment in loving service of Krishna, he followed a strict, austere daily schedule. This is the schedule. 8 to 10 p.m., rest, 2 hours. 10 p.m. to 4 a.m., write. 4 to 4:30 a.m., rest. 4:30 to 7 a.m., chant japa. 7 to 7:30 a.m., correspondence. 7:30 to 9:30, study shastras. 9:30 to 10, bath prasadam. Prasadam is half a liter of milk, fruit, and 2 chapatis. 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., court duties. 1 p.m. to 2 p.m., refresh at home. 2 to 5, court duties. 5 to 7, translate Sanskrit shastras in Bengali. 7 to 8 p.m., bathe prasadam. Half a liter of milk, rice, and 2 chapatis. So the summary of his daily schedule is that he would sleep 3 hours, write for 8.5 hours, chant japa and study for 4.5 hours, and work for 6 hours. Srinivasacharya praises the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan, Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipuno Sadharma Samstapako Lokanam Hitakarino. The 6 Goswamis deeply studied all the Shastras in order to establish eternal religious principles for the benefit of everyone. Similarly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur made unlimited preaching contributions to help humanity, and for this he is known as the 7th Goswami. Biographers list 3 major preaching achievements of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. 1. Wrote 100 authorized spiritual books. 2. Discovered appearance place of Lord Chaitanya. And 3. Introduced preaching innovations. Besides books in Bengali, Oriya, and English, reviving and explaining Mahaprabhu's message, he wrote hundreds of poems and songs full of spiritual and Shastric Siddhanta, philosophical conclusions. His writings have made the sacred teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fully available to every modern reader. And they are presented in a form which carries irresistible conviction and devotion, said a late disciple of Thakur Bhaktivinoda. Sri Krishna Samhita, Kalyana Kalpataru, Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Sri Navadvipa Dham Mahatmyam, Jaiva Dharma, Sri Harinam Chintamani, Bhajana Rahasya, Gita Mali, Gita Mala, Gita Vali, Sharanagati, and commentaries on Bhagavad Gita and Chaitanya Chaitamrita are some of his works. The following quotes come from Thakur Bhaktivinoda's Gita Vali. This is a quote. He who has failed to carefully worship the lotus feet of Sri Radhika, which are the abodes of all auspiciousness, he who has not taken shelter in the transcendental abode of Vrindavan, which is decorated with a lotus flower named Radha, he who in this life is not associated with the devotees of Radhika, who are full of wisdom and love for Radhika, how will such a person ever feel the bliss of bathing in the ocean of Lord Shyamasundara's sublime mellows? Please understand this most attentively. Sri Radhika is the teacher of Madhurya Ras, Mellows of Conjugal Love. Radha Madhava Madhurya Prema is meant to be discussed and meditated upon. He who cherishes the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani obtains the lotus feet of Madhava, which are the priceless jewels. Under the indomitable Ganges River. In 1888, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur revealed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Janmastana at the Yoga Pit in Sridhar Mayapur. Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, a famous Siddha saint and Paramahansa Rashika Vaishnava, confirmed the Thakur's discovery. This most auspicious event delighted the Gaudiya Vaishnavas from Gora Mandala to Vrajabhumi. He established the worship of Lord Gauranga and Srimati Vishnupriya at Yogapit. In the mood of innovation, in 1896, he sent to universities around the world a book of shlokas, Sri Gauranga Lila Smarana, which had a 47-page English introduction, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, His Life and Precepts. This act rose from a keen desire to spread Lord Chaitanya's teachings in the Western world. This book arrived in McGill University in that year, the same year that Prabhupada was born. Symbolically, a very auspicious occasion, the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya. It showed how Bhaktivinoda Thakur had this great desire to see Krishna consciousness spread, and he took a very active role in doing this by translating so many books into English and publishing so many books. There are many, many books in English. Once I went to the library in England, the British Library, which is supposed to have the biggest collection of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's books in the West. And I was kind of surprised because I couldn't find any until I started looking under his then name, Kedarnath Dutt. And there were so many books. He wrote The Poryat, The History of the World. He wrote about the marriage system in Bengal. He wrote on many, many topics. And I don't know if it will describe it here, but I'll mention that he read very widely. He read philosophers of the West. He read about theologies of Christianity and Buddhism and Islam and Confucius and many, many other Jewish faiths. So he was very deeply schooled in both philosophy and theology. The reason he did this was that he had the vision that it was important, it would be very important to bring Krishna consciousness to the people of the Western world who had no former affiliation, who were immersed in philosophical treatises, starting from the Greeks and in Western philosophy. They come up through Descartes and so on. So he wanted to convince these people with the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So he was very keen and wrote many, many books in English. Bhaktivinoda Thakur made three predictions concerning a person and a phenomenon. A personality will soon appear, wrote Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he will travel all over the world to spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That was the first one. Second one, very soon the chanting of Harinam Sankirtan will be spread all over the world. Oh, when will that day come when people from America, England, France, Germany, and Russia will take up kartals and mridangas and chant Hare Krishna in their towns? He also had the vision that they would all congregate and be in Mayapur and chant Harinam Jai Satchinanda up and down the road near the temple, near the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. Oh, that's the third prediction. Okay. The third prediction, when will that day come when the bare-skinned foreigners will come to Sridhar Mayapur and join with the Bengali Vaishnavas to chant Jai Satchinanda, Jai Satchinanda? When will that day be? So these were his three predictions. There would be a great personality to travel all over the world, that the chanting of Hare Krishna would take place in all different corners of the world, and that people of all different races would converge in Mayapur and chant the holy name Jai Satchinandana. Srila Prabhupada said it's spiritually significant that he himself appeared in 1896, the same year Bhaktivinoda Thakur sent his book overseas. The will of Lord Chaitanya, the desire of Thakur Bhaktivinoda, and the mercy of Srila Saraswati Thakur empowered Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to spread Sri Chaitanya's teachings and the teaching of Hare Krishna all over the world. Prabhupada fulfilled the Thakur's three predictions! Exclamation point. This weekend, we'll be hosting Bhakti True Maharaj. His Holiness has dramatized some of the pastimes of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which some of you might have seen, and he'll explain some of the reasons why he did this and how he's doing it, and a bit more about how the prediction of the Thakur is coming true, has come true and will be dramatized in the video of Bhai Charan. Devoid of pride, full of humility, radiant with pure love for Radha Govinda, Srila Prabhupada gave all credits to the previous acharyas. "We should take it," said Srila Prabhupada, "that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the origin of the Krishna consciousness movement, ISKCON, in its pure form. Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita was a name that Prabhupada pulled from one of the texts of Rupa Goswami, and in essence it means Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada had different levels of explaining what Krishna consciousness means. It doesn't necessarily mean that we think of Krishna. It doesn't necessarily mean that we see Krishna, read Krishna's books, or associate with his devotees, or do devotional service. It does mean all those things. But it also means to be in a state of always remembering of what Prabhupada describes here as ISKCON, or Krishna consciousness in its pure form. So as we were talking the other day, this is a system or a method, an organization meant to gradually purify the consciousness of all living beings, not only those inside, that's very important, but everybody, to purify their consciousness. And so he says that Bhaktivinoda was the origin, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the origin of Krishna consciousness movement in its pure form, ISKCON, he writes, in its pure form. In 1896, just 100 years after Bhaktivinoda Thakur's third prediction, 3,000, quote, fair-skinned, end quote, devotees from America, England, France, Germany, and Russia, and 50 other countries, gathered at ISKCON Mayapur, Chandradaya Mandir, in Sridhar Mayapur. They joined 1,000 Bengali Vaishnavas to rock the universe, I'm just reading, rock the universe, by chanting, Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana, Gaura Hari, Srila Sachinandana Bhaktivinoda Thakur Ki Jai. We read in Chaitanya Chaitamata how when Lord Chaitanya danced, it would appear that the earth was tilting. So I think Mahanidhi Swami has some special transcendental eyes to understand that these chants were rocking the universe. In 1914, on the Tirobhava Titi, disappearance of Sri Gadadhar Pandit, the incarnation of Sri Radha, Thakur Bhaktivinoda entered the eternal pastimes of Gaura Gadadhar and Radha Madhava. That's the day we're celebrating today. In Godrumadvipa, Navadvipa, Sri Sri Gaura Gadadhar, the worshipful deities of Thakur Bhaktivinoda await to bless any visitors to Spananda Sukhara Kunja. In Radha Madhava's Nitya Vraja Lila, Bhaktivinoda Thakur takes the form of Kamala Manjari to serve Srimati Radharani. His Pushpa Samadhi is in the Bhajan Kutir at Radha Kunda. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a great visionary and innovator. Those of you who have visited his home on the other side of the Jalangi River near Mayapur have seen some of the things he used, some of the places where he walked. He had a veranda where he would look out and gaze over the river, and one day he had a vision. According to what we read, there was a kind of light, you know how light sometimes shines down from the clouds and you see light beams? He had a vision that this was the place where Lord Chaitanya was born. And according to accounts, he took Gaura Kishore Das there, and there was a revelation that this was the actual place. But in order that everyone would understand fully how this was actually the original place, he did a lot of research in libraries and other institutions to determine the exact site of Lord Chaitanya's birthplace. So this was one of his important predictions, one of his important achievements in life, to determine where this actual place was. He was a visionary also in the sense that he practiced the phenomenon of Yukta Vairagya. He built a kind of bookcase that was cylindrical in shape, and it turned. You could put books in it and turn it around. He put bearings in it and turn it, something he discovered or invented himself, something that wasn't very commonly used in India in the last century. He also invented a kind of fan certain times of the year, like May and June, it gets very hot. And it was driven by paraffin. I don't know exactly how the mechanism worked, but there's a fan you could see in his room. So in order to work trammeled by the various things that happen when there's a lot of heat, mosquitoes and perspiration and so forth. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to utilize all of his time in the best possible way. So he set this example and utilized whatever was available to make it possible and easy for him to conduct his studies and do his writing. It's also instructive to note that he had a very tight schedule. He didn't waste any time. He was so concerned to get his work done that other magistrates and judges said that he did the work that other people would do in 8 or 9 or 10 hours or 2 or 3 days in just 1 or 2 hours. So he was very intent, and he did his work very expertly. He passed judgment on many cases that came before him, legal cases, and the other judges were astounded that he could perform so well his work. But all this time, he was intensively writing. He would be up in the middle of the night translating. Sometimes Prabhupada did this as well. Once I was in a room next to him. We were visiting in Monroe, New York, and it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I heard some sounds coming from the room, so loud that it woke me up, and it was Srila Prabhupada. He was chanting Hare Krishna, and then he began studying and writing. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur also set that example. He was also very vigilant and very upright. There was a Vishikashena who was dramatized as Phalgu Baba in the drama Abhay Charan in the video, who had a great power in his village. He was exploiting women. He had many followers. He would lecture, and he would either claim to be or allow his followers to claim that he was God himself, that he was Vishnu or Krishna. And people were afraid of him because of his power. He was a great yogi. He had lots of power over people. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was part of this Atibari sect that were doing all sorts of nonsense. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the first one to really challenge him. And in the course of this challenge, the Vishikashena cursed him, that there would be a great curse that would descend upon him if he didn't leave him alone. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur was intent to rid Bengal of all of this mischievous activity. So he accepted the curse, and as he was about to try him in court, his daughter became deathly ill, and the wife said that you should call off this case because now he has cursed us and we're liable to lose our own daughter. So she had a very intense fever. But somehow or other, before the end of the day, she recovered, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur pursued. So in the court, he was found to be guilty of many offenses according to the laws of Orissa, then Orissa. And as he was being led away to his prison, there were many of his followers outside chanting and praising him. Englishman who understood that yogis sometimes possess great power within their hair, they have this power. Sometimes it's said that Samson, the biblical figure, was very strong because of his hair, and when they cut his hair, he lost his power. He was supposed to have been a yogi. Anyway, this Englishman jumped on his back and with a big scissors cut all his big locks of hair. And at that point, the yogi sort of collapsed. He lost his power. So he went to jail, and after a very short time, passed away. He lost his power, lost his fame, lost his name, and he died in jail. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in order to get the people of Bengal to understand what actually happened, wrote an article which he had published in some of the major newspapers of Bengal about this sect. So I'm going to read a section of this because this was published in the August 18th edition of Progress, and also later on in the Amrita Patrika, Bazar Patrika, which is one of the leading newspapers. This is what Bhaktivinoda had published. So it was one thing to have the court case and to have this sort of demonic type person put behind bars, and he died and lost the court case. He was accused of various crimes against the state. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted everyone to know. People read the newspapers. So he was, even though he was a magistrate, he also understood that the court of public opinion is sometimes far stronger than the court of law. So this was his letter to the editor, which was published. There's a class of men in Orissa who pass by the name Atibaris. They say that they are Vaishnavas, but in fact, they are quite opposed to the principles of Vaishnavism. This sect originated with one Jagannath Das, who flourished at the time when Mahaprabhu Chaitanya Dev of Nadia entered Puri with a view to propagate the genuine principles of the Vaishnava creed. Jagannath Das was indeed a man of great acquirements in the Sanskrit language. He translated the Srimad Bhagavat into Uriya poetry, and also the Bhagavad Gita, the most instructive book in the Hindu literature. The translations are, however, free and contain more things than the original works themselves. The people of Orissa, especially those who are below the Brahmins, are very fond of reading these translations.